Welcome back to Positive Choice Talk Radio for the third hour. One of my favorite hours of the whole week. Because our friend Barb Schwarz is here. Well, she's here in voice. Oh, there she is.
Absolutely. And spirit. I'm there, man. I'm there.
Yes, and she's so excited.
I'm always excited.
We're playing your theme song.
It's another great day. It's just a beautiful, beautiful day. Wherever we are, it's a beautiful day as long as we make it that way. And a big part of that is listening to Positive Choice Talk Radio. And I mean that when I say that because it's contagious.
It is. You know, in the last hour, Barb, and you'll appreciate this, we were talking with a gal by the name of Josephine Carlton, who has written the book Life Messages, Inspiration for the Women's Spirit.
Great.
And we were talking about a lot about, you know, living in the moment and that a lot of people who have risen above, like yourself, you need to be in her next edition is what you need to be. Because life adversity sometimes breeds success.
It's really true. Your life is a canvas, and so you can create whatever you want on it. And the paint may run sometimes on the canvas, but it's up to us, because it isn't so much what happens, although that is important. It's what we do with it that happens and how we respond to it. And the responses are really up to each of us, and that's where we need to practice that positive choice response. And it does take practice. It really, really does. You have to work at it.
Yes, it does. Because
and it's worth it.
Yeah, it is. Now, let me ask you, and I just would like your take on this, if you wouldn't mind, my dear.
Oh, absolutely. And my joy.
Then we'll get to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yes, there you go. Okay.
But how do you suggest that people get away from the woe is me kind of attitude? Let me give you an example. I know someone who has lived her entire life. She's in her early 70s now, and she was adopted as a child. And she's lived her whole life in, quote, unquote, as an adopted child. It has affected everything about her life. It has made it not what it could be, and it's been more negative, and because she's made it negative. How would you suggest someone like that get out of that paradigm if they're in the middle of wallowing in something that they had no control over that happened to them or around them from years ago that's affecting their life today?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a great way to start today's show. It fits right in with some of the things we're going to talk about. And first is accepting the fact that each of us always have a choice and that we are powerful and way beyond what we understand or know. And there are different mentalities, we'll call them, that we can tap into. And it may be, I don't know her, but it sounds like part of what she's tapping into all the time or part of the time is what I call the victim mentality.
Yes.
And so it's whether you choose to be the victim or you choose to be responsible and say, you know, this is what happened. I'm going to release it. I'm going to let it go. And let me get on with my life rather than dwelling on something that took place. Besides that, it could be a very, very good thing, not just a thing. So, you know, the book that we've quoted a couple of times is the book I've written, If You Wear Out Your Body, Where Will You Live? Yeah, they can go, anybody listening can go to Barnes & Noble or B. Dalton or any of the places and order it, or get it at Amazon.com online, or you can order it from StageHomes.com. And the steps that I write about and work consciously to live through is the first stage is victim mentality. So they did this to me. They made me mad. These people were not good to me, why did this happen to me, all those things where we really play reactive, not proactive, and we're taking that victim mentality, and it's a choice. The next level is what I would call independent, where we say, you know, this happened, how am I going to respond to it, which is what we just talked about a minute ago.
Right.
So it's really going through the acceptance stage that this has happened, now how do I respond to it? And knowing that we don't have to play a victim anymore. And you give up the victim mentality and you move into the independent state of I'm an adult and I have a choice. I can say to myself, how do I respond? How do I choose to look at things? And until people really, Kevin, step up and say, I do have a choice of how I respond. Am I going to play victim or am I going to take a stronger positive choice step and say, I have a choice of how I respond and how I look at things. And once we start doing that, we can move into the next step, or level of development, I'll call it, which to me is the interdependent state. It's when we really realize that we do have effects on each other, and everything on Earth is really interdependent. In other words, I would not be here really today on this show without you, Kevin.
That's true.
And you might not be on this show if something hadn't happened to you in your life and if you hadn't met certain people.
That's
and
a fact.
So it's looking at that and saying, I'm responsible for what I do, and I'm also in acceptance that what I do has effect on other people. So it's just not love them and leave them or hurt somebody and run off. It's, wait a minute, you know, I'm not going to be the victim. I am independent. And then I realize that we are interdependent. And so by being a team, whatever you want to call it, a family, a community, we can help each other. And as long as we're not in the victim mentality, which is stage one, then we're going to get so much more done. And our planet. I love our planet. I planted it, too. I planted flowers this weekend. I love it. Is interdependent. In other words, we need the ozone, and we need the wind, the rain, the sun, you know, the trees. All of this is interdependent, and that's why we want to take good care of each other and our planet. And then the last stage, which to me, any of us at a moment can go back and forth, Kevin, between any of these four stages. You could be a victim, and then you get right out of it, and you go into the independent, and then all of a sudden you move into the interdependent, and then all of a sudden you're back to the victim. And so it can happen in an instant, and it's all based on you. And this lady is doing the same thing. She can either have the opportunity to go to the independent state and release the other, see how we are all interdependent and what is her effect on others, and then not choose the victim mentality. And partly, I think you've met people, too, that this is not true for everyone. So I don't want our listeners to think that I'm talking about every single person. Some people gain their identity after a long time from having an issue that they let everybody know about. So if some people are afraid, Kevin, to let that go because they will not be known as that anymore, and in their minds they've lost their identity of how people think of them. In other words, poor lady, she was adopted, isn't this sad? And that's part of her identity. And until she's willing to give that up, she's going to stay a victim. And you'll see people that maybe, you know, there are other challenges. They live in an abusive situation, and they stay with that. And they can, and they tell everybody about it all the time. Well, until they take some action, it's not going to change. And I'm not saying that people that are in an abusive situation, it's instantly easy to get out of that situation, because there are many, many challenges way beyond you and me where people are really in some not good situations, and it's hard for them to move through that because of fear. And maybe someone, their identity, I met a lady when I was doing my herbal work, because I wrote about herbs in the book, too, that, you know, she said, you know, if I lose weight, because she could have changed her diet, she admitted it was her diet, she said, people won't know me anymore. And that's not true of many, many people that go on a diet or lose weight or change their food, but for her, it was her identity. And she even got to the place she realized that, and that all her life, everybody paid attention to her and her family because of that, and she was afraid she would lose her identity. So there's a fine line, and the last stage that I started to mention is what I call let go, let God. And different people can use different words. It's saying that I'm not going to be a victim, and I am independent. I'm responsible for my thoughts and actions. My thoughts and actions influence other people, which is the interdependent. And as I move through life each day, I'm going to be as positive as I know how. I'm going to make my best choices. And life still happens, so I will let go and let God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, work the good that is there. And sometimes stuff still comes up. It's like my daughter's automobile accident that I've mentioned a few things about. You know, the only way that I knew to move through that and help her was not for me to play victim, and I've never asked as the mother, why did that happen to my daughter? Because the answer could be, why not your daughter? And then knowing that I independently can make choices and do things to help her and that we are interdependent. I love her, rely on her, she relies on me, how we affect each other. And then the fourth stage is let go, let God. And when I didn't know what else to do, I would just go, I'm releasing this and I'm letting the good that's out there happen. So tell me what you think of those stages and does that make sense?
They all make sense, but you know what we've got to do before I answer that question?
We need to take a commercial break.
Oh, you're so good.
Well, I'm psychic, too. We're all that way. And I want our listeners to know how important our sponsors are to us, because without them, we might not be here. And I want our listeners to stay tuned, because we have much more coming back with Kevin, and this is Barb, and Staging Life with Barb. So stay tuned, everybody.
Welcome back to Positive Choice Talk Radio. Hey, Barb, it's you.
It's me, and it's you, Kevin.
It is.
So hey. Glad. We are the, you know, would you consider changing your name to Ken?
No.
Because I am shifting my name to Barbie. I am.
Are
all
you?
My life,
well, didn't you hear that Ken and Barbie broke up?
Yeah, they did.
They're just buddies now.
Well, I've emailed some close friends, and they're starting to call me Barbie. You know, I was thinking of changing my name to Diana, like the princess, or Mary, because I admire Mary. And yet, that would not be good for marketing for me, because we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars into Barb Schwarz. So I decided I could be Barbie. And some of my friends have called me Barbie doll, which is cute, and I don't mind. So if you'll be Ken, I'll be Barbie.
Barbie Schwarz. We like that.
Yeah, well, start calling me Barbie, man. I'm changing my name.
Hey, Barb, I got to ask you, because in talking with what we were just talking about, and
yes,
as far as choices go, and that we're all interconnected and life is weaving in between all these people and so forth, can you recall one exact moment in your life that changed it forever?
Wow.
I can, too. Because you know, it's interesting how the people that we meet, actually it's happened a couple of times, but the people that
it has happened a couple of times. The first, I was 5 years old.
What happened?
Well, some of our listeners may go, this is woo-woo. And then I always say, that's all right, you'll catch up sooner or later. No. Yeah, I was 5 years old, and I just really was in Kansas. I'm not Dorothy, I'm Barbie.
Yeah.
But at 5 years old, that's how old Mother said I was, I felt what I would say is God's presence. I really did, and I had this message come to me. And so I used to be very, very shy of sharing that, and I'm not anymore because I'm getting younger all the time. And so, you know, you can call it inner knower or you can call it intuition or whatever. It was just a beautiful thing, and I've had that numerous times. And my way of relaying that to you, Kevin, to Eric, and to our listeners is you've been going somewhere or doing something, and inside you just go, I know. You don't even know how you know. You just know.
Yeah.
You know, you just know. And that's how I explain it, a real knowingness that something was going on. And so there have been multitudes of those through the years. And that's where I think this state that I just talked about of let go, let God, which are the words I use, I really love the fact that we are spiritual beings in a human form on the planet. And, you know, you and I have talked a couple of times about, you know, life after death. And we've never had a full show wrapped around that. And I'm leading up to that with you because there are certain guests I want to have on at that time. And before I forget it, I do want to share that we have a special guest next week that I've arranged for, and her name next week, everybody listen in, is Mary E. Gullickson, and she is a set decorator for Hollywood, and she's agreed to be on the show, and she's also an accredited staging professional, which is how I met her because she graduated from my ASP course. And so she works with people like Tom Cruise and Meryl Streep. She's currently doing the set for The Practice. She did a lot of the set for the Oscars. And so next week, I just want to interview Mary about a lot of fun things about Hollywood and about the relationship between staging a house and staging the set. And I will get a few questions about a few of the stars in there, too.
Of course.
It'll just be really, really fun. And it's great to have her in our ASP family. And she's on stagetomes.com. And yet, most of the work she does is as a set decorator in Hollywood. So she's our guest next week, and I'm very excited about her coming
cool.
on.
That'll be fun.
It'll be way fun. She is, and she's a hoot. She reminds me of Bette Midler, but no swear words this time.
Yes, Bette is a bit of a free spirit, isn't she?
Yes, Bette is, and I don't know Bette, but I do know Mary, and I adore Mary, and really love her and respect, and I honor her talent. That word honor, I encourage us all to use that word more and more. I feel that honoring each other of who we are and what we contribute to our society, our community, to just see each other on a personal friendship basis, too, is really, really important, and that word sometimes gets left out a lot. And so I love that word, and I also love that word these days, that it would be my pleasure to help you. And it's such a great word, or words, rather, my pleasure to help you. And no matter where you work, whether you're working out of your home, whether you're working in an office right now, anywhere you are, to be able to say that even to your spouse or significant other or friend, be my pleasure to help you. And that I want to honor you with appreciation. And you will find that people will not only respect you more, but they'll really take a look at, wow, maybe I should pass that on to somebody else, too. Words really matter.
But they've got energy behind them.
They really do. Everything's made up of energy. And
your intent.
Word has meaning. And so, you know, if we say, I spend time with my family, spend has a connotation in society today that we're wasting it. Like I went out and spent my money. It sounds like wasting. And so in my courses and now on the show, I like people to think about the word invest, because you invest time with your family. You invest money in your property so that later you can sell it for even more. And say what you mean these days. In other words, changing can't to can, and instead of saying I can't climb Mount Rainier, I can say I can climb Mount Rainier, I just choose not to do it this year, that kind of thing. And
I'm going to choose not to do it next year, too, probably.
Well, that's good. So I just choose not to do that next year.
Yes.
Anyway, it's the subconscious only knows what we put in. They don't know right from wrong, the subconscious, it, rather. And so if we have all these cans and spins and all these things that we put in there, it starts dishing it out. And the number one person that you and I talk to is ourselves.
Yep.
Because we talk to ourselves way more than we do to others. In fact, the listeners that are listening right now, their brains are talking faster than I can humanly keep up with, and I talk pretty fast like Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important, that self-talk.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So my darling, if the point I was making with the last question about has there been a moment in your life?
Yeah, what was your moment?
Well, but you never know when that moment is coming is my point. Because,
yes.
And so you need to be aware. And I'll give you an example. This, I can point to an exact moment that my life completely changed. Everything about it changed because of this one thing, and I'll explain. I went to work as a busboy at the DoubleTree Plaza Hotel in my youth, and I met a guy by the name of Corey, and his last name happened to be McDonald as well, and we became very good friends over the summer. And we spent a lot of time together. We played golf together and all that kind of stuff, and we also worked. Well, in the fall, in the beginning of the fall, he said to me, I'm going to go take auto body at Green River Community College. And I said, oh. And I have, Barb, you know me, I have no interest in taking auto body in any, but I figured, well, if I can learn how to change my oil, probably wouldn't be a bad thing. So,
That's right.
I said, okay, I'll go with you and we'll take body shop. I never tried it. I'll give it a shot. We get up in River Community College. We are standing in line. We are third from in front of the line. You know how it is when you register for college.
That's right. There's
lots of people. There's lots of lines and all that kind of stuff. Third from the front of the line, and he looks at me and he says, "Nah, I don't think I want to do that."
Okay.
And I looked at him and said, are you nuts? I've been waiting here an hour and a half. We're third from the front, and now you're saying you don't want to go do this?
He was getting scared.
I don't know what his deal was at that moment, but he said, no, I don't want to do this. So at that point, I had a clear, concise choice. I could either get in the car with him and go back with him and forget it, just forget the school thing altogether. I could go take auto body, which I dearly did not want to go do, or I could do something else. And it turns out that as I got to the front of the line now, because I said, oh, I'm just going to hang out here for a minute. And he stepped out of line. And I was at the front of the line and standing or sitting at one of the tables with nobody in front of him, who's the drama instructor at Green River Community College. His name is Gary Taylor. And I said, well, you know, I've always wanted to take drama. And so I went and I sat down and talked to him. After 20 minutes, I signed up for his courses. I not only got to do radio at the college, that's where I met my wife.
Awesome.
Now, I would never...
Awesome. See, his role was not to take the class. His role was to get you there in line.
His role was to get me there. And you know what's interesting about that? I haven't seen him in 20 years.
That is so cool, that story. I love that story. That's called Big Picture.
So that was in one...
Big Picture.
Yeah, that was in one moment of one thing. He and I, it's like he had a contract. It's like, okay, I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to be your friend for like a brief period of time. And then what we'll do is I'm going to go get you to go do this because you're too chicken to do it yourself, and I'm going to give you the motivation to do it. So my point, the whole moral of that story is follow your heart, but don't be unaware. Be aware of everything around you.
That is a really great story. And to me, there are many morals to that story. And be open, because you were open. So you can be aware and still turn your back. So being aware and then being open to what may be there and thinking big picture. You know, all of us tend to, as humans, and I'm saying the collective, all of us, because there are listeners that don't do this. However, a lot of us, as the collective us, tend to only think about the piece we see without taking a look at the whole picture. And that's what you were doing. You were going with the whole picture when you didn't step out of line. And that with him, not that you were misbehaving. It sounded when I said stepped out of line. No.
No, no.
You know. And so you were open to that. You were being aware. You were being open. And a part of you said, yes, I'll look at the bigger picture, and look what happened.
Yeah, and it was, I would not be sitting here had that not happened.
That is so great to hear. I love that.
So that was just why I brought it up about choices.
Well, I love that story about yourself, because we all have those moments. And so it's whether we're aware, whether we're open, whether we are out of the box, I call it. You know, I like to draw with chalk a little box on the floor when I'm speaking with a group in one of my seminars, and I'll pop in the box, figuratively speaking, because it's just with chalk on the floor, and it'll, you know, vacuum right up so we don't hurt the hotel carpet or wipe it up. And so I'm in the box, and then boom, I jump, and I say, I'm out of the box. And to me, if you just draw, anybody listening, a little box on the piece of paper that you've got or anywhere, close by, blackboard, whatever, you can make it really large or really little. The point is that it still has the four walls, and there's a word I always write in the box or beside it if the box we draw is little, and it's F-E-A-R, which really stands for false evidence appearing real. And it seems so real, but it's because we're not looking at the big picture, and sometimes it's hard for us to see the big picture. So I won't say the word can't, erase that. We need to step back and say, request, I want the big picture here to be more open to me, and what you expect is what you get. And to me, in the box are hatred and prejudice and lack, L-A-C-K, and where we're really afraid to take the steps to bring about what we want. And any of us, just like victim mentality, that's where it is. The victim mentality is in the box. So any of us can go right back in that box. You go to walk across a corner, of course, for your human safety, and some car comes spinning around, you're going to be in instant fear, and that's a kind of survival thing. When someone says something to you, though, that isn't maybe for survival, unless
right.
it's really horrible. You can stand for a second and think, you know,
yeah, but
do I want to
stones.
Participate in this?
Yeah.
Kevin, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce you to our special guest, and I'm so pleased that Linda has agreed to allow me to interview her here on Staging Life with Barb. And so, Linda, please say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Kevin, I know you don't know Linda yet, so I want to introduce her to you as well. She is an ASP, which is an accredited staging professional, realtor with Windermere Real Estate, and you are out of the Wall Street office in Seattle, is that right?
Correct, in West Seattle, yes.
Now, what are the areas that you primarily work?
I primarily work the greater Seattle area, so probably from Edmonds south to Federal Way.
And tell us all, do you primarily work with buyers or sellers or both?
Actually, it's pretty equal right now, buyers and sellers.
Okay, that's great. Now, one of the things that I'd love to have you share with our listeners, because we're all interested in the market and in real estate, and take a little time here, if you'd like, to really tell us, what is Seattle's market doing right now in real estate?
Oh, gosh. Seattle's market right now is predominantly a seller's market. We're a little shy on some on inventory, but because we are in the spring mode, this is when most people bring their homes out on the market. So you're going to see more and more listings come out, which then can turn it into a buyer's market because they have more inventory to choose from. And because the interest rates are extremely low, they were 5 1/8 on a 30-year fix this morning, it's really a good time for people to consider upscaling or downscaling, and first-time home buyers, everybody like that. It's a great time to get into the market, even investors.
So it's a great time to sell a house because it's a great time to buy a house.
Yes.
And do you primarily work in the high-end homes, the middle or lower end, or in all price ranges?
All price ranges, all price ranges. I've had up to $1 million listing, which actually that one sold in 2 days. And then I've had listings that have been 189.
Yeah.
So,
wow. What area was that in? I mean, the houses still exist at 189.
Oh, that is south of West Seattle in an area called...
White Center?
It was close.
Wow.
It was close. It's called Top Hat.
I used to sell food in that area. I know that area well.
Really?
And 189 is about what you can expect in
that. Wow. Well, it's wonderful that buyers can still find houses in that price range.
Well, it's good, yeah, for your first-time home buyers and investors both.
Absolutely,
yeah.
For the investors too.
Now, Linda, I do have a question about that, if mm-hmm. I can. And sorry, Barb.
Please.
But in the White Center areas, in some of the areas around town that traditionally have been, how you say, not as desirable to live in, but with the pricing going up to where it's $189,000, $200,000, are you finding that the mix of the type of individuals that are occupying those houses is changing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what you're also finding is these areas are being fixed up, so they are becoming more desirable. You've got people coming in and buying fixer homes and renovating them and staying there themselves and living in them or turning them over. And Highland Park area in West Seattle is, they're doing an awful lot for the community there, and they've had some, there's a new project going on that is going to be affordable housing, and it's really nice things that are going on.
Well,
and same in the
know,
Top Hat area.
Well, you know, neighborhoods, to me, Linda and Kevin and Eric, too, because Eric, I love you. I'm glad you're here with us. Say hi to everybody, Eric.
He can't. He's indisposed at the moment.
Oh, he's indisposed. Well,
oh,
I'll say hi for him.
Hold on. He's scurrying in.
He's scurrying in. See, Eric, with me, you never know when I'm going to call your number.
Sorry, Barb. I had to step out for 1 second there.
Well, we're glad you're there. Thank you. Everybody, Eric really keeps us on the air. Without Eric, I don't know what we do. So, Linda, we're glad Eric's here, too.
Oh, yeah.
And
he keeps the string tight.
What I'm starting to say is that neighborhoods have cycles, And they have life expectancies in certain price ranges and cycles. So you'll see new homes be built, and you'll see people move in and put the yards in, and it's really a popular area. And then 30 years later, the homes are older, and a lot of people have moved to other new areas, and then you'll see it kind of start to go down a little, not necessarily, but sometimes, where they're not taking as good care, and then the prices may or may not keep up. And then, isn't this right, Linda, then others will move in that can afford and start to redo them, and then, boom, that neighborhood starts to really move again. Would you agree with that?
That's so true, Barb. You're seeing it in more and more areas in Seattle. Georgetown, Columbia City, Beacon Hill, the south part of West Seattle. Those are predominantly because I am more involved in this area. That's why I'm throwing those out. But there's a lot of areas that's happening.
Linda, I got a gripe. Can I gripe real quick?
107, this is Positive Choice Talk Radio.
I know.
Reframe that. You know me in reframing. So it's not a gripe. You have a question.
I've got a challenge for you.
Challenge. There we go, which presents an opportunity.
Yes.
Why is it that housing in typically, not in every case, but if you look at the averages, south of the city versus north of the city, the housing north of the city is priced higher than what in the south of the city is?
You know, I wish I had an answer for you on that, because I think that is true in other areas outside of Seattle, in other states.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
You know, Kevin, I see that in the Bay Area, too. And I see that in other cities where I've given my programs all over the United States. And maybe in another area, it's up north or east or something. But that is very interesting, as you point that out. It is inevitable, though, that in a market you're going to have higher areas, and probably that's where the new construction has been the most recently and where they've built a lot of high-end homes. And then you'll have other areas that were already established, as I was saying, that there's no more land. And so the houses aren't as big. And then you'll have things like airplane noise or industrial very close and all of that.
I think that's a key thing right there, Barb, is the industrial areas.
And you're right on the dime, because we see that in most cities. Certain areas just don't go up. They do go up, but not as fast.
Yeah.
Well, Barb, you're one of the most powerful women that I know. Could you please fix that? Because I live in Kent, and I really would like my housing values to go up.
Well, Kent, yeah, I'm going to come down and stage your house. Well, just stage the whole neighborhood.
To stage? Actually, I live in a very nice neighborhood, but it's the issue is it's weird, because if I lived on, say, the Issaquah Plateau in the same house, in the same place, and by the way, you can't get off the Issaquah Plateau, but that house would be worth $100,000 more than it is sitting in the East Hill of Kent.
Probably even more. I used to live on the East Hill of Kent.
Point, which is,
and when I moved from there, I didn't get the value out of mine either, and moved into the city, and so really downsized.
Well, that's just naughty. So, Barb, can you fix that, please?
I'll work on it. I will work on it. I will put my mindset. And I know eventually we're going to have another break, and the last one perhaps. But before we even get to that, I want to let everybody know about Linda's background and her numbers of how you can reach her. So it's Linda Heinen, right?
Yes.
And it's H-E-I-N-E-N, just like it's spelled, Heinen, H-E-I-N-E-N. And she has the designation for sellers as an accredited staging professional, which means she can help you get more money for your home with her talent in staging. And she's also a buyer's representative, too. So for buyers, she has the qualifications, so more than. So she's really able to help all of you listening. And she's at the Wall Street office, which I have a lot of friends there. It's a wonderful office with Windermere. And her cell phone, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and I want to give you this plug, is 206. Please write this down. Anyone in the greater Seattle area that would like to talk to Linda Moore, call her, ask her questions. The next part is 948. So we have 206. 948, And then the last part of her number is 7902. So the end is 7902. Is that your cell?
That's correct.
And you would be happy to have people call you and just ask you questions too, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we would
and I'd be happy to do free market analysis.
And you can tell by Linda's mannerism on the phone that she's a wonderful person and very easy to work with. And all of our listeners, there is no silly question. There is no stupid question. That isn't part of our mentality. The only way we learn about real estate is by asking questions.
That's right.
And so do call Linda and ask her any question you want about buying a house or selling a house, staging a house. And Linda, what would you say about the accredited staging professional course that you attended?
You know, Bob, that was the best class I have ever taken. Number one, because it was fun. And I love decorating. I love homes. And you are such an incredibly positive person and a very exceptional person. So you make it fun. But it was also very educational. And even though I knew some things about how to decorate a home and things like that, I learned so much that just kind of put me over the edge there. So I feel real confident and able to go out and help people now. I recommend it to everybody. In fact, I have a friend I'm trying to talk into become a staging professional.
Oh, thank you so much. We are very blessed to be able to give the course and work together, people like you and I. And could you give a brief description, because I know we'll be taking a break soon, but a brief description of what your take was on the house we redid? I mean, it was amazing.
It was amazing. It was. I don't know how else to put it. The home, when we walked into it, was a nice home. It's a beautiful home. Beautiful home in a lovely area. But when you walked in, it felt a little closed in, and you felt a heaviness to it. I felt a heaviness to it.
Yes, I did too.
So once we took, and we had groups that went into every single room of the home. We were assigned a room, and everybody put their personal touches in there, and we moved furniture out of rooms and rearranged everything, took stuff out of the home. And when it was done, it was like you were in a totally, totally different home. And all of this was done with the owner's own possessions. We didn't bring in any of our own equipment or furniture or anything like that. So everything was done with the owner's possessions, and it was a transformation. And when the owner came in and saw it, I think she almost cried. She just
She got so excited about it. She slipped out. And I heard her saying to someone, her husband actually on the phone, when Kirk and I were, my husband and I were the last to leave because we want to make sure everything's up as far as tools and, you know, just in case somebody left a jacket or whatever, anything. We just want to make sure everybody's fine. And we are walking out the door and I hear her screaming literally on the phone, "Oh my gosh, don't touch anything. It's so beautiful. My house has never looked this good. I don't even know if I want to move anymore." He was so excited. And Linda, we're talking about doing a live show on the radio, Kevin and I, in our next class. You should come for that part, girl.
Oh, yeah.
The last Friday of April when we're staging a house in Seattle, because Kevin and Eric and Linda already knows this and all of our listeners, it's a two-day course. So the first day I teach in the classroom, and then the second day we go out and all of us, we break into teams, and each team does a different room. We totally redo the house. Linda, you did such a great job describing it.
Oh,
and
thank you.
So we're going to do a radio live feed from that, Linda. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's an excellent idea.
It'll be so fun, won't it? Because we can have team members come out and say what they're doing. And,
yes.
And through, even though radio, you know, we can create it in the mind's eye, and the excitement will surely spread. We could even, Kevin and Eric and Linda, we could have the owner, when they come back, be on the radio and tell us what they think. It is so great to be together every Monday from 2 to 3, and I hope this is a bright spot in your day, one of the many. And so Kevin is here, McDonald, that we love and wouldn't be here without him, and Eric is here as our expert at KKNW, and he has many titles. And then we have Linda with us, and she's with Windermere Real Estate out of the Wall Street office. And I want to give, Linda, everybody your phone number again. This is your cell phone, 206-948-7902. So that was 948-7902. And, Linda, you work with buyers, correct?
Right. Work with buyers and sellers.
And sellers. And you have your buyer designation as well as your seller designation of being able to help people prepare the home for sale in your real estate career, which is so great.
Yeah.
Linda, I have a question for you real quick.
Okay.
Knowing what I know about staging and how it helps with the value of the home and also set it up for the buyer to come through so that it's a better experience for everyone, yet there are real estate people that have not gone through the course. Can you... Do you have any idea why somebody would not want to go through the course?
Oh, gosh. Now, there's a good question.
Because it seems to me...
And I can only suppose.
I know, because you've been through it, and it works really well for you. Because it just seems to me that if it's a win-win for everyone.
It is.
The buyer gets to see the house in pristine condition of how they would like to see it. The seller can get what they need to and what they deserve to get out of the house.
Correct.
Because it works synergistically for everyone. I don't understand why somebody would not want to do that.
I can't imagine anybody not wanting to. I can understand why somebody hasn't yet, maybe because they're just learning about the staging. They haven't fitted into their schedule, something like that. I would think maybe... Those would be the reasons why maybe they haven't taken the time to do it yet.
Well, I think that this should be, you know, mandatory that everybody go through Barb's course. Because
I
think it would be better for everyone. Don't you, Barb?
Well, thank you. We have multiple roles in the course. One is to educate about real estate, and two is to educate about building your business. Three is to educate about building your life. Because our work is an extension, a part of our life. Our life is an extension of our work, and they go back and forth. And then to really empower ourselves with the knowledge and the education to go out and help our clients. That's really what it's for. And it's interesting to see the high number of women that take the course, Kevin, and not as many men. And first of all, in real estate, there are more women in real estate than men, and there are more men getting into the business. Some of them may be under the misguided impression that it's for women only, and that, you know, oh, that must be foo-foo or decorating. And what we talk about in the course, and what I strongly believe, is staging is a marketing tool. It's merchandising the product. So whether you are selling Mercedes-Benz or Coca-Cola, Starbucks, or Microsoft, you have to merchandise the product, and if you don't, it doesn't look as good. So if you went into Target or Nordstrom's and, you know, there were no lights on and clothes all over the floor and no music going, you'd think that they were closing out of business and expect a deal, and I don't really like that word. So when homes aren't staged, that's the impression it gives the public, and they're going to ask for a deal. So it's hard for them to imagine living there, and this has nothing to do about male or female. It has to do with the word marketing, and that's what it's about.
So true.
Well, Linda, I really appreciate your help on the show today.
Barb, thank you so much. It was an honor to be on the show with you. I don't know what to say.
Well, we're thrilled to have you.
I'm very, very pleased.
It was just a joy to hear your voice, and I know our listeners gained a lot of knowledge listening to you. Before you go, what is one thing, if you could only say one thing during our time together, and I'm grateful we've had more time, what would it be that you'd want people to know about buying or selling a house right now? What comes to your mind first?
Boy, that's probably the hardest question. The thing that I would want them to know about buying or selling a home is to make sure that they are working with a professional realtor who has the training and the knowledge that's going to benefit them, so that if you're a buyer, you're getting the best possible home you can for the amount of money you have to spend, and the sellers if you're selling a home, that you are getting the most value for your home.
That's really great. That is a beautiful summation, because anyone can get a license and be in real estate, and we know people that do that, and there is a difference. Just like you have great CPAs and some that aren't as great, and great doctors and some that aren't as great, and they're all practicing medicine in the doctor field or medical field, and in real estate, Kevin and Eric, they're practicing, you know, real estate, and there is a difference. And so that's a great summation to interview and find out and know that that individual is a professional. And we know you are, Linda, and it's a real joy to feature you, Linda Hyman, at Windermere Wall Street office. I hope a lot of you will call and talk with her. And you can go into Windermere and go into the Wall Street office and also see her email, which is the same, lindaheinen@windermere.com. So you'll see Linda's name right there on the list, and you can email her directly, too.
And they can go on my website.
You have a great week, Linda.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll be talking soon.
Okay. Bye, Kevin and Eric.
Take care, Linda. And that phone number one more time real quick, Barb, and you've got a minute and a half.
Okay, 206-948-7902. That is Linda's cell phone. And as we say goodbye to Linda and pretty soon to all of you listening, I hope you will make that date on your calendar every Monday from 2 to 3. We have so much that we're going to talk about in the future weeks ahead and months and years of really improving our life, and that's why we call it staging our lives. Our home is really where our heart is, and that is in our body, so we want to make our bodies healthier. It's in our house where we live, so we want to make our homes environmentally healthier, and we can stage to live as well as to sell. And we want to stage our minds as well, knowing that we don't have to be the victims, that we can make that split-second choice to go ahead and make a positive choice decision. And so everyone listening, we really want to wish you a fabulous week. You can email me if you'd like. It's Barb@stagedhomes.com, StagedHomes.com, Barb@stagedhomes.com.
And Barb, thank you very much for another week.
Thanks so much. Live well, laugh often, and love much.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.